Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports on the Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I'm of course William Ramo. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, man. How's it going?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm glad to, you know, to be spending another Saturday with you and everybody, you know, listening in.
Yeah, definitely. Glad to be on as usual.
Thanks, man. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad you guys and ladies are here. Check out this episode. On today's episode, we'll talk about the MLB lockout. You know, it's official. You know, we're going to miss some games. We don't know how many games we're going to miss. We're going to miss at least, the first two series. We're just going to find out how long this lockout's going to be. We're also going to talk about, you know, two NBA teams that should have been on lockout, you know, right now, and that's the Lakers and the Knicks, as they're both spiraling out of control. Two teams that, you know, obviously the Lakers are still one, if not, in my opinion, the crown jewel of the NBA. The Knicks, they've just been on a downward spiral for a long time, but, you know, we'll definitely get into that for sure. And then also we're also going to talk about what's going on in the world of wrestling, you know, with WWE. They had the MSG event that just went down tonight, and what's going on on the road to WrestleMania, Undertaker being inducted to the Hall of Fame, and the upcoming AEW pay-per-view event that's coming down tomorrow. We'll talk about that too. And then also, last but not least, we'll also finally give you our thoughts and our review, our spoiler review of the Book of Boba Fett. So, you know, on this show, we talk sports and entertainment and everything else. And the only thing we have in common with all those topics is that we're real and, you know, we're really honest about what we think. And we'd love to hear what you guys have to say. And, you know, whether you agree or disagree with us, feel free to, you know, hop on the board and call us at 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. But with that said, what we'd love to hear about right now is the MLB Player Association and the owners coming to an agreement. And unfortunately, that was not the case. You know, according to the Players Association, it was the owners who put out the fake reports alleging that they were close to a deal, just so that they can make the players look bad when they didn't come close to an agreement. And to be honest with you, I think the players are telling the truth, because you know, the league, they had so many days. I think they spent like 40 plus days, you know, including the holiday season, before they started even talking to each other. You know, they wasted so much time. And then you look at another factor. You have players like Max Scherzer, who's on most likely the final deal of his contract that he shockingly signed with the Mets of all teams, you know. And, you know, he's risking his money on the line. Apparently he looks like he's going to lose like $7 million dollars so far, you know, with this lockout. You know, with them, you know, with this team, with the whole lockout. And then third, I didn't see the press conference, but by all accounts of people who've seen the press conference, when Rob Manfred was doing the speech about the lockout, you know, talking about it being official, this guy's cracking up, you know, while he's talking during this interview, during this press conference, which is not a good look. And then, you know, fourth of all, you know, this guy, he, you know, in the past, he referred to the trophy as just some piece of metal. And then fifth of all, if you watch this show ever since he has been on, you know, he's been, you know, he replaced Bud Selig. I mean, this guy has been ruining the game of baseball. I mean, he's been trying to quote unquote modernizing the game and making it appealing to a younger audience, and he's just ruining the game. Like this guy is the worst. In my opinion, this guy's the worst commissioner since Landis, the first commissioner, like in the 1800s to 1900s, when this guy, you know, openly, you know, banned black players from playing the game, you know, because of this quote unquote gentleman's agreement. And I mean, that's the only commissioner in my opinion that surpasses him, you know, as the worst GM. I mean, as the worst, you know, commissioner in MLB history.
Yeah. You know, it's bad when you're comparing Manfred to a commissioner all the way back in the 19th century.
Yep.
Yeah.
The 19th and early 20th century. I mean, you know, sure, they had some great teams, you know, in baseball with, you know, obviously the Yankees, the Babe Ruth era, you know, Ty Cobb, Hornswagger, those type of players that they had during that time. But the glaring omission was basically, you know, Landis, you know, perpetuating the ban that happened in the 1870s. And, you know, he kept that ban in throughout the whole thing. And, you know, it was reportedly a huge racist, you know.
Wow.
So it was after they had the other commissioner, Chandler. He's the one that, you know, obviously, you know, Jackie Robinson, you know, with his alliance with Branch Rickey, that, you know, ultimately broke the color barrier, you know, in 47. But,
well,
yeah, back...
According to Professor Watson's retelling of Black History Month, MLB banned black players in the 19th century because they saw how Kunta Kinte ran the bases with one leg, and they didn't want black players to be in baseball because of that.
Yeah, I think you gotta go back and get another textbook, because yeah, that definitely did not happen. But yeah, man, I mean, that would be more of a logical explanation, because look at what the MLB is doing to their product. I mean, they're ruining their product. You know, this is worse than the strike of '94. And, you know, some people didn't come back. And the only thing that brought them back was the Bonds and Sosa race, you know, when those guys, you know, cheated to you know, to break Roger Maris's record in '98, you know. So, I mean, this is another black eye for the sport. And you know, with this strike, I think because of that '94 strike, that's what led NFL to be the more popular team, the more popular sport in this country now, you know, because up until that point, MLB was America's, you know, favorite pastime. But now that you think, but when you look at it now, NFL has surpassed in its popularity because of the parity of the league. You know, any season, you know, basically your team has a chance to make it in the playoffs. And that's one of the things that they're negotiating, that they're going to have either a 12 or 14, 14-team league. I mean, you know, playoffs, teams making their playoffs. And to me, I think it's a bad idea. You know, I mean, you don't want basically the half of the league in the playoffs. I mean, that lessens the motivation of you know, playing 162 games. And then another thing is that you're going to end up having a team that's under 100 make the playoffs. I mean, what's your thoughts on this whole lockout situation?
It's horrible for baseball, man. It's definitely bad for baseball right now. You got a league and players and owners that make millions of dollars, and they can't come to an agreement for the fans who enjoy watching this game. I mean, come on now. You know, I don't know, and I don't know who to blame. Is it the owners? Is it the players? Who's to blame? I mean, it sounds like it's more the owners right now.
Yeah, it definitely seems like it's the owners that are more at fault here, and
yeah.
The owners didn't agree with the things that they've been doing,
proposals.
I think if I'm not mistaken, I think Cohen and Steinbrenner were one of the people that opposed it, but you know, I'd have to double check.
As far as the proposals, 12-team playoffs, I don't know how to feel about that. I mean, baseball is already a long season, and you're going to make it longer by having more teams in it. I mean, if they're going to do that, then I would propose to minimize the season, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe instead of a 162-game season, maybe change it to maybe 142 in that case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want 12 teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
Make less games in the regular season in that case. I mean, don't you agree? If they have a season, less games in the regular season, then you got more games in the postseason in that case.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah. I mean, what's the point of playing all these games when anybody's gonna make it, even though they don't they don't deserve to make it.
Right. I mean, technically, don't we already have a 12-team playoff? Because you have those wild card games anyway. I mean, isn't there already a 12-team playoff right now?
I would think so off the top of my head. Let me see. There's the three divisional teams, and don't they have to? They have. I think it's five.
And then two teams have to battle off for that final wild card, right?
Yeah. So it's five.
So then, yeah, okay. Then it's 10 right now, really.
Mm-hmm.
So then, what would you?
And remember, before what's his name? Why his name escaped me for a moment. I was just talking. Manfred did all these changes. You know, he made interleague play every day. He made you know, the Astros become an American League team. What else? The catcher's rule, the second base rule, and then oh my goodness, I totally forgot about the you know, 10 inning, you know, runner on scoring position, automatic runner, the ghost runner,
right?
The ghost rider runner on running the bases, you know, you can't talk to him, he can't talk to you, but he can read the bases when he's stealing a base he didn't earn, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that literally don't make no sense to me, you know. Literally, the only good thing that he's done during his tenure was have the seventh inning doubleheaders. That's the only good thing that he did. But the only problem with it is that if you're throwing a no hitter or a perfect game, it doesn't count because you didn't you didn't pitch a ninth inning. But my thoughts, I think I've said this, you know, during that season a few years ago, 2 years ago to be exact, that it's not the pitcher's fault that, you know, that's a seven inning game. Why should he be penalized, you know, for throwing seven no-hit innings, but the game ended, but it doesn't even count because it's, you know, because it's not a nine inning game.
Yeah. I mean, right now, these guys just need to come to some type of agreement, man. Because it doesn't look like we're gonna have baseball starting time right now. We might not have baseball starting until maybe the fall.
Yeah.
If they don't come to some type of agreement soon.
I think it's gonna be like 2 years ago. It's gonna start after the All-Star break.
Yeah. And who won that season anyway? I'm forgetting. Wasn't it the Nationals?
It
was the Nationals that won.
No. I think it was Dodgers. Because Nationals won in 2019.
Oh, yeah, right.
Dodgers won in 2020, broke their drought. And then 2021 was some cowardly team from Atlanta. I can't remember the name of the team.
Wow, think about it. Both the Lakers and the Dodgers won in the same shortened season.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No surprise there. I'm sure it's happened a million times in that city. And then now the Rams just won.
Yeah.
And then the Kings won not too long ago. What was it, about a decade ago or so when they won?
Oh, yeah. You don't remember that Atlanta team that won it last year? It's the Atlanta Braves.
Oh, yes. Thank you. All I remember, they were a cowardly team. I couldn't remember their name.
Just remind you.
Was it the same franchise that beat you guys when they were in Milwaukee in 57?
I think it's the same franchise we beat in 96-99, but hey, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that is the same team watching me swept them in the 69 playoffs too. First ever NLCS. Thanks for reminding me.
Hey, you really went back to old school. We brought it back to Milwaukee. I'm like, wow.
Yep.
And first the 18th century commissioner.
Yep. Yeah, he was the commissioner from 1920 until his death in 1944, and then Happy Chandler replaced him. So for those who keep him square at home. But we'll see what happens with baseball. And, you know, the rumors are, being rampant that Freddie Freeman, I think we might have spoke about this last week, that Freddie Freeman, but this, you know, had, and the Mets had interest with each other. And now it seems like they actually might have spoken to each other. So, I mean, again, I don't see that happening. I know there's a lot of rumors saying that he's going to leave Atlanta, go to the Dodgers. I'll believe it when I see it. Because I could see him going to the Dodgers. I could see him going to the Yankees. And, you know, obviously resigning. To be honest with you, I think he's most likely going to resign with the Braves.
Yeah.
We'll find out when this strike ends in 50 years from now. At this rate.
Yeah.
But the good thing about it is, the players are, you know, arguing for the rights of the young players. Like apparently they don't want Pete Alonso to lose his his service time. Because when you think about Pete Alonso has probably the weirdest start in his baseball career than anybody probably right now I could think off the top of my head. I mean, his first year he was supposed to debut a month, you know, after the first month so he could keep so that the Mets could have an extra year of service time. But Brody Van Wagenen, you know, his only best move he did as a Mets GM was that he made him play the opening day. He actually, obviously, Alonso earned the spot. You know, it was the way he was playing in spring training, and this guy ended up shattering the Mets, franchise record, seasonal record of 44 home runs. Let me do the math in my head. 41, I think it was. I think that was Todd Hundley and Beltran who did it in separate years. And then, of course, he became the first Met to hit, over 50 home runs. And, of course, set the rookie record, breaking, Aaron Judge's record, and then afterwards we had the pandemic where he only played 60 games, which, preventing him from having another 30 back-to-back 30 year season. He only hit 16. Then last year he hit 37, and now there's a lockout. Like, I mean, it's just bizarre. And then not to mention he's won back-to-back home run derbies, because technically the 2020 didn't have a home run derby because of the pandemic. So he's won his first two home run derbies. But we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens
once this lockout eventually ends. Do you foresee the Yankees doing any big moves, another thing before that, Scherzer was criticizing the Yankees, saying that the Padres spend more money in the off season than the Yankees did, or in the past couple of years than the Yankees has had.
Wait, say it again?
Yeah, Scherzer was saying that Padres was spending more money than the Yankees were.
Wow.
Lately.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, actually, you know what? When I think about it, I think he has a point. Yeah, he does have a point. I mean, Yankees.
I think he said they had
spenders.
A bigger payroll. I think that's what he said. The Padres had a bigger payroll.
Payroll?
I think that's what he said. Let me double check what he said, because I think he was still wrong. Because I think Yankees payroll was slightly ahead of the Padres one, but let me see if I could see what he said about the Yankees. Okay, let's see. He was criticizing the Yankees spending, by them manipulating the what was that called again? The luxury tax. Let's see if I could.
So
find.
He's saying Padres spent more. I mean, I could see the Padres spending more than the Yankees. I mean, Yankees haven't been really big spenders the last few seasons. Well, then again, they had that Gerrit Cole signing. That was pretty big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then again, that was an anomaly, under these recent years. Because the Yankees are usually big spenders, but then again, but. Yeah, other than Gerrit Cole, they haven't really spent that much money these past couple of years.
Yeah.
And even I was saying that they should spend the money on Gerrit Cole, because they need that guy.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so, yeah, okay, so basically the luxury tax is acting like a salary cap, because the Padres had a higher payroll than the Yankees last year.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's very surprising to hear. Payroll than the Yankees.
I think I read somewhere that the Yankees payroll was just slightly ahead of Padres, but, having the Padres and the Yankees payroll in the same sentence, that's surprising.
You would
but
never
then again,
have heard that.
Padres have been spending the money these past couple of years, though.
Yeah.
They, I'm trying to remember. I know they signed, what was it, Hosmer, but they gave Juan Machado that huge contract.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, yeah, that, you know, the Padres are showing that they're all in now. But, yeah, there was, like, four teams that didn't want the payroll to, you know, the payroll to increase. It was, I think, let me think off the top of my head. It was the D-backs. It was...
D-bags.
The Angels were hypocrites. What was the other team? I think Detroit Tigers, which is not a small market team by any stretch of the imagination. And what was the other team? I'm trying to think. What was the other team? Because most of these teams, they were the same teams that didn't want Steve Cohen to become the owner. And this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to. This is a conspiracy, man. They don't want the Mets to win a championship, man. Now they're trying to raise the luxury tax and make the teams that spend the most money lose draft picks. Instead of the teams that don't spend the money should be losing their draft picks because they're not even, you know, they're tanking. That's the only way you're gonna stop tanking. Don't reward teams that are tanking and not even trying to spend money.
I've always said for years, because people always make fun of the Yankees, and people always criticize the Yankees really for spending their own money to get talent. And I don't know how the hell you could do that when it's well-deserved. You've made that money from fans coming to your stadium to watch games. You've made it from revenue. You've made it from merchandise. You made it from network. It's their own money. And if they want to spend it to make their teams better, they shouldn't be criticized. And then you have these other teams that don't spend their money to get talent or make their team better. Who knows what they're doing with their money, probably investing in drugs or gambling or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, and yet they're criticizing these bigger market teams like the Yankees. I mean, it's ridiculous. These other teams should be investigated and they should be penalized, not teams who actually have their money and are spending it to make their team better. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It's never made sense to me.
Yeah, I feel you, man. I mean, these teams, they're just they want to get the luxury tax. They want to get some of the collective bargaining agreement and make money, and they don't even invest in the team.
Exactly. Yeah, that's like saying, you know, okay, that's like a big company, like I don't know. Give me a big company out there right now, like Amazon.
Microsoft?
Or like Amazon. It's like telling mm-hmm. Amazon, oh, you know, you can't, you know, you make so much money. You can't, you have no right to bring in more products to sell because you make mm-hmm. so much money. You
yeah.
can't bring in a lot more, any more products, invest in any more products to sell.
Mm-hmm.
You make too much money.
Yep.
Yeah. They made that money themselves. How you tell them what mm-hmm. to do with their money?
Or the WNBA throwing the book at the Liberty because they're using charter planes instead of commercial planes. Like they're penalizing them like they took steroids and were gambling. Like
that's a ridiculous story. A team wants this money to accommodate their players. Treat
mm-hmm.
them like professionals, athletes, not like amateurs,
mm-hmm.
you know. The WNBA has these teams fly their players on commercial flights. Like me and you can go on a commercial flight. That's what we're supposed to do because we don't make that much money. But then you're having athletes fly commercial sort of a charter. I mean, that doesn't
exactly.
look right.
And you want want them to have equal pay, so they should be treated equally. You know what I mean? They should live the life of luxury. You know,
yeah.
they're elite athletes. If their owner can afford them to have a better, you know, flight, What's the problem? I don't see. Yeah. I don't see anything wrong with that. Like,
exactly, man.
That's supposed to give them an edge, like they're taking the PEDs or something. Like, oh, because they had a good night's sleep on a commercial plane and they had peanuts on their flight. That's the edge that they have. Like, come on, let's be real here.
That's ridiculous. And they were thinking about taking away draft picks and even terminating the Liberty from the league.
Oh man, that is a joke, man. And then what's next? They're gonna take away all their titles that they won in the WNBA. Oh wait, they didn't win any because they were in the Garden this whole time until they just moved to Barclays Center, you know, under new ownership. What a joke, man. And I guess the perfect segue about jokes in the Garden is, of course, the perpetual laughing stock of the league, the New York Knicks. And right now, the New York Knicks, they, you know, of course, they lost in a buzzer beater to the Suns after they blew a 14-point lead, I think, in the fourth, and had a buzzer beater to beat them. And, of course, you know, Knicks have blown countless games, you know, by, you know, they had 20 points leads and they just blow all these games, you know. You know, RJ Barrett recently was saying that, you know, he thinks they're playing well. It's just that they can't, you know, hold on to the lead. You know, he thinks they're playing well because, you know, they go on to these huge leads, you know, but, you know, the problem is with his statement is that they can't hold on to these leads. Like, so, I don't think the Knicks are playing good. I mean, maybe the first three quarters they might play well, but the most important thing is having 1 point at the end of the fourth quarter, and the Knicks can't seem to do that. You know what I mean? Like, Knicks would be leading 100-0, you know, and then they'll find a way to lose 101-100 in the fourth quarter. That's how bad this team is. You know, I literally would not be surprised if the Knicks started the game. Ended the third quarter 100-0. I still wouldn't have faith in them to win the game because that's how bad their defense is.
Yeah, this is not the team. This is nothing like the team that we saw last season. They can't play defense. They're not shooting the ball as well as they did last year. Randall just disappears sometimes, very inconsistent. Yeah, I guess also it has to do with us not having Derrick Rose. For this season, you know, he kind of helped, you know, with his offensive game and finding guys. You know, he was pretty much a good point guard for us last year, and we've been lacking that this year. I mean, we really haven't had much consistency coming from the point guard position. So, yeah, man, it's I don't know. I mean, and especially the last night when Cam Johnson hits that game winner against us. After he gets into altercation with Randall, who got ejected for the game. I mean, typical Knicks, right? They're leading for most of that fourth quarter. And you think, okay, they have a chance to win this game. You know, Devin Booker's not playing. Chris Paul's not playing. And they have a chance to win. But then they give that game winner up to the Suns, Cam Johnson, and Suns end up escaping. No work for a win. It's been like that for this whole season. And it's just they don't play hard, and when they do play hard, they just find a way to lose.
Shoot, I'll take it one step further. They've been like this for the past 20 years, with the exception, like I've always been saying, like with the exception of that 2013 team with Cade, and then last year's team. Other than that, they've been disgusting for the past 20 years. Those two teams are literally the only two exceptions to the rule. And then now you got the Lakers. You know, the Lakers are like, they are like Knicks bad. You know, you got LeBron James. He's getting older. You got Melo. You know, he's trying to win that title, that elusive title. You got Anthony Davis or Street Clothes as Charles Barkley calls him.
I told you the Lakers can't win this this series. Forget about the championship. They can't win this series without street clothes.
I'm not even. You want to explain that?
I call him Anthony Street Clothes Davis because he's always in street clothes.
You ain't got to explain it, Chuck.
No,
I just said what I said. Dude, I was just trying to distance myself as far as possible.
Yeah, Anthony Davis is always injured.
Mm-hmm.
Always injured. I mean, if he was fully healthy right now, if he was fully healthy for most of the season, I think Lakers could have, you know, at least had a, been a top, in a top five seed right now. But, yeah, this guy just can't stay healthy.
Yeah, man, he is Marcus Camby, Mitchell Robinson, you know.
No, I mean, I won't go that far now. I mean, the guy is considered to be a top 75 player of all time. And, you know, he has the numbers to prove it when he's healthy.
He's very good. I don't know if I'd put him in top 70, but I think he's a really good player.
He's a good player. I mean, his numbers, when he's healthy, he's definitely one of the – I'd say
player.
Top five players in the NBA, for sure.
Yeah, he's definitely an elite player.
He's an elite player.
I'm not gonna lie to you, he's not.
You know, it's just that he can't. You know, he can't stay healthy sometimes. And he did help them win a championship a couple seasons in that bubble. So, but yeah, I would love to see him play more. You know, and not be injured all the time.
And then we didn't even talk about Russell Westbrook.
Oh yeah, that's another story.
Oh my goodness, like this dude, like, and I, you know, like I've been saying on this show, like they, you know, the Knicks have nothing to lose, you know, trying to get rid of Randle to get Westbrook, but man, you know, I had the realization that, you know, if this guy can't even produce for the Lakers, and the Lakers is, you know, like I've been saying for decades, you know, even before the show, that the Lakers are the Yankees of basketball. If he can't produce under the pressure with the Lakers, man, he can't, what is he going to do anywhere else? He's not going to perform. He looks, you know, he looks shot, man. He needs to get a fire under him, you know, because right now it looks like they're mutually going to part ways in the off season. He's going to get traded. So
yeah,
this team that LeBron put together, because Melo was doing an interview recently, and he was saying that, you know, LeBron was the one that courted him. Not even the GM. He didn't speak to the GM. He talked to him, and he said that, you know, basically, you know, he said say less, you know, because you're the GM. You know, he's gonna come to the Lakers because they've always had that vision. You know, ever since, you know, Melo was with the Knicks, you know, there was always that rumor that, you know, they were gonna form the big three: him, Melo, and Chris Paul. You know, before you know, obviously LeBron took his talents to South Beach. You know, so you know, LeBron finally made it happen that they're finally teammates, you know, in the NBA. And yeah, now this team got old pretty fast. And then you got the other team in New York, the Nets. Last time I checked, the Nets were like at 500 because they had a huge losing streak. They lost like 10 in a row, and I think most recently they've lost 2 in a row. So yeah, man, it's not looking good, you know, for this team. You know, let's see, when was the last time they played? They played on Thursday. And they lost. So yeah, there's what is this? They're on a, looks like they're on a 3-game losing streak right now.
So you're still talking about the Lakers, right?
No, the Nets.
Oh, the Nets. Okay. Well, you know, I just go back to the Lakers here for a second. Lakers have lost 2 of their last 10 games. They are sitting right now in the 10th or 11th. Spot in the Western Conference. And I don't know if you saw this. They were losing so bad to the Pelicans last week that they proceeded to compete against the fans rather than against the other players that they were playing against, the other team. And LeBron ended up cursing a fan, and Ariza ended up getting into it with a fan as well. And we have a clip of that.
Yeah, I think even Westbrook was arguing with them.
What's going on, Sports Wars? This is Ryan with the RK Outpost and GeeksGamers.com, and we have been talking a lot about the drama surrounding LeBron James and his potential future with the Los Angeles Lakers. But in the meantime, this season is still ongoing, and they are struggling right now. The Lakers have fallen to 6 games below .500, with only a little over 20 games left in the regular season. Right now, they're sitting at ninth place in the Western Conference. They are still eligible for the 7-10 play-in tournament to determine who gets the last two seeds in the playoffs, but this is not the spot that really any Lakers fans thought that they would be in, and as a result, they have completely lost their patience, and now they're fighting with the players on the court. LeBron James and Trevor Ariza are fighting with Lakers fans during games. LeBron James, Lakers, feuding with their own fans in miserable loss. Now, we talked a little bit about this loss because LeBron James left the floor early. LeBron James walked off the court and quit on his team once again, just like he's done so many times before. But now we have some clips of LeBron James and Trevor Ariza arguing and going back and forth with Lakers fans who are tired of this shit. Lakers fans are not happy about the team's skid, and on Sunday, they decided to make that known. During a devastating 123-95 loss to the Pelicans, fans booed the Lakers at Crypto.com Arena, and video appears to show LeBron James and Trevor Ariza responding to the angry crowd. And let's actually listen to this first. Let's listen to these boos. I want you guys to hear this. This isn't just a smattering. This is the arena booing the Lakers. As LeBron James has yet another turnover, of course. Like, there are active boos coming out from Lakers fans towards their team because this is not what they expected. With LeBron James, with the self-proclaimed GOAT, the self-anointed king, I don't think this is what they thought would happen. And now, listen to this. LeBron James and Trevor Ariza confronted Laker fan hecklers during their blowout loss to New Orleans. LeBron, what do you know about basketball other than the ball going in or not? Shut your ass up. This is the same LeBron James who has had people kicked out of the stands for saying vulgar, mean things to him. But he can go and cuss out fans in the stand who are giving him crap because they're struggling. Listen to this. And you won't be actually able to hear LeBron until a couple seconds into this, so here we go.
Hey, Brian, you got this.
Kick him out.
I think he said, shut your bitch ass up. I think that's what he said. But he's sitting there responding to Lakers fans and telling them, shut your ass up, when they're demanding that this team that was assembled by LeBron James, all these players, the oldest team in the league, this is who LeBron wanted there, they are failing right now. And he wasn't the only one, because again, this is the guy who leads this team. LeBron's the leader. LeBron James, I'm a great leader. I lead this team. Well, what he does, so do other players, right? Because they see him talking back to Lakers fans. What do you think other people are going to do? Let's listen to Trevor Ariza.
Hey, don't jump off that bullshit.
Again, this is responding to Lakers fans. What did Trevor Ariza say? If you didn't hear, he says, I don't give a fuck what you are. You a bitch. How about that? To Lakers fans. That's what's going on. And of course, we saw what happened. LeBron walked off the court with time on the clock, quit on the Lakers, quit on the fans, quit on this team, because that's what he does. This is spiraling out of control quickly. And honestly, if they continue to slide like this, if they continue to struggle like this, how is this not a massive, massive blemish on LeBron James' career? Like, the fact that this dude who gets Anthony Davis to come over there, who literally chooses Russell Westbrook to come play with him, Carmelo Anthony, all these other people that he wanted, he got them there. And now there's a chance that they miss the playoffs and finish under .500. That is absolutely pathetic from LeBron James. But, you know, if something goes wrong for LeBron James, it just makes me smile. Let me know your thoughts in the comments below. Smash a like button, subscribe to the channel, ring the bell for notifications, share this video out there, and I'll talk to you later.
So the Lakers identified the fan that was confronting LeBron James, and it appears it was Jeannie Buss cursing LeBron. LeBron cursed her back.
Yeah, right. There's no way. There's no way it's Jeannie Buss. But sorry about the cursing, but yeah, I mean, basically, another thing, what the person didn't mention was that, Westbrook was also criticizing the fans also. And after the game, this was a game that on November, what day was this? Let's see, what was I going to say? So, yeah, anyway, so basically after the game, they asked Westbrook about what he thought about the comments, you know, if he's going to take it home with him. And he said, take it home for what? Take it home? I got three beautiful kids at my house. Why would I take it home? If they boo, they could take their, you know, A home. I ain't worried about that. It doesn't bother me none. So, you know, basically these Lakers, you know, they're basically giving the fans the thumbs down, you know, like all these other athletes. This is the soup du jour that all these athletes are doing. They want to stick it to the fans. But for the first time, it's not none of my teams that they're doing it. But, yeah, it's just a crazy situation.
You know, in fairness,
mm-hmm.
Just to side with the Lakers players a bit, as a fan, you buy a ticket to the game. You're expected to watch the game. You can boo. You can chant. You can do whatever. But don't start trying to get into a fight or altercation or confrontation with the players. Then you're crossing the line a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's certain boundaries that you shouldn't cross, and trying to argue with a player or start a fight, I mean, that's going overboard, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that, you know.
Yeah, just because you're buying a ticket to the game, that doesn't give you – that doesn't entitle you to start instigating a fight or altercation with a player that's out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So shut your ass up. That's what I'm going to tell these fans. Just watch the game and shut up.
And breaking news, Mac here just signed with the Lakers. Congrats.
I wish.
Yeah, you're gonna have to start doing this show from long distance. You'll be like Phil Jackson when he was the GM of the Knicks.
Actually, Phil Jackson was the one cursing LeBron in the stands, from what I heard.
Right, when he called them, he called his entourage, you know, the posse or something like that, and he got offense thinking that, yeah, you know, like he's a criminal, you know, like a cowboy Wild Wild West kind of thing. But that's that. And let's shift gears to
As a fan, I've never gone to a game and said anything to a player. You know, I'll boo, I'll cheer, but I've never, like, gone to a Knick game and, like, you know, curse Randall and said, Randall, I'm a beat your ass after this game.
Yeah.
You know, why? Well, why would
right.
I say that?
But that's all part of the culture we have nowadays, you know, like, you know, if you don't like someone or something, you know, old school ways, you know, you just ignore the person. You don't talk to them. You know, you just mind your own business. You know, you just do your own thing. But nowadays, you know, we're in a world where, you know, basically people got to confront people. You know, if they hate somebody or they hate a athlete or hate a singer or hate a performer or whatever, they got to follow the person on social media. We're not even talking about following them in real life. We're just talking about following them on social media.
Yeah.
Send them a DM or criticize them publicly. Wait for the person to get a response from said celebrity, and then the celebrity curse them back, and then it's like the person's like feel like, oh my gosh, you know, Macaulay, you know, he knows I exist. He cursed me out, you know. I'm famous now. I'm infamous. It's like people, you know, like the whole saying goes, you know, bad publicity is good publicity. But yeah, like these people, you know, they take it to the extreme. You know, these keyboard people just criticize people. If you don't like somebody or something, just don't talk to them. Don't watch. But these people, you know, the people who think like that, it's like they just gotta voice their frustration, you know, and get into an avoidable confrontation. Like, it's not worth it, you know?
Yeah, just go to a game and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Or go to a game and not enjoy it. But don't get into personal confrontations or start instigating or starting trouble with, you know, players that are going out there and trying to entertain you. And
if you
play
you wanna
the game that they love.
You want to cheer. You want to boo-boo. But don't, you know, come, you know, like, you want to fight the person. Like, I mean, it's not that serious. You know what I mean? Like, come on. Like, common sense should tell you that. But, you know, what can I say? It is what it is. But, yeah, let's shift over to AEW. They're going to have a pay-per-view event coming up tomorrow. CM Punk got beat up by MJF. Long heated feud continues, and looks like it's going to culminate in a dog collar match. But we're going to get into that. Okay, first matchup, they have Hook versus QT Marshall. I think Hook is going to win this one. He's been undefeated, to my knowledge. You know, that's Taz's son. QT Marshall, you know, he used to be part of the Nightmare family, the Rhodes Nightmare family before, you know, Cody Rhodes left the AEW, we assume, to go to WWE. So I'm picking Hook here. Layla Hirsch versus Chris Statlander. I'm kind of on the fence. Maybe I'm going to pick Layla Hirsch to win this one. Then you got the House of Black. You got Malakai Black, Brody King, and Buddy Matthews, formerly known as Buddy Murphy, versus Death Triangle. You got Pac, formerly known as Neville when he was in WWE, Pentagon Jr., and then Eric Beard, who formerly known as Eric Rowan from the Wyatt family. He just finally returned this week. This is his second time, in my knowledge, him being with the company. The only time he was there was when he was for that tribute show for Brody Lee when he passed away. So now Eric Redbeard is officially part of AEW now. Then you got this marquee matchup. You got Jade Cargill versus Ty Conti, and this is for the AEW TBS Championship. Yeah, this match should be good. I think Jade's going to continue her undefeated streak. I think she should be like at least 30-0 by now. Then you have AHO. That's the Andrade and Hardy family office. You got Andrade, El Idolo, Matt Hardy, and Isaiah Cassidy versus Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara, and Sting. In a six-man tornado tag team match. I'm picking the good guys here, Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara, and Sting to win this match. Then you got Jurassic Express, Jungle Boy, and Luchasaurus versus Red Dragon, which has Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, you know, formerly known as the Undisputed Era in NXT, versus the Young Bucks, which is, of course, Nick and Matt Jackson. And this is a you know, a three-way tag team match for the AEW Tag Team Championship. I think Red Dragon's going to win this one, you know, solidify themselves, you know, as tag team champions, holding the goal, but for the first time in AEW. Yeah, this matchup is going to be an interesting one. You got Jon Moxley, formerly known as Dean Ambrose, versus Bryan Danielson, of course, formerly known as Daniel Bryan. And this is going to be a one for the ages. Who could I see winning this one? I know Bryan Danielson was asking Jon Moxley, the former tag team with him, but instead they're going to go one-on-one in this matchup. I could see this matchup going either way. Maybe Bryan Danielson will win this because I think he needs this W right here. Then you got Chris Jericho versus Eddie Kingston. I think Eddie Kingston will win this one. And then you have this interesting matchup right here, this innovative matchup. You got the Face of the Revolution ladder match for a future AEW TNT Championship match. You got Keith Lee, Orange Cassidy, Powerhouse Will Hobbs, Ricky Starks, Wardlow, and Christian Cage. And, you know, the winner will win the AEW TNT Championship. I think Keith Lee is going to win it. I mean, I know this being a ladder match, you know, a ladder match isn't usually an advantage for a big man. I mean, you got like three big men in this matchup. You got Keith Lee, you got Powerhouse Hobbs, and you got Wardlow in there. So yeah, this is going to be a very unique ladder match because, you know, you usually have high flyers, and obviously Christian Cage is, you know, he's in his element in a ladder match, or, you know, even specifically a TLC match, you know. But I think Keith Lee is going to win this one. And then you got Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, versus Thunder Rosa. Britt Baker is going to put her title, the AEW Women's title, on the line, and I think she will retain it. Then you got CM Punk versus MJF, dog collar match. Yeah, CM Punk is going to brutalize MJF. He's just going to destroy him. And yeah, he was bloodied after MJF attacked him, you know, this week. Yeah, CM Punk, MJF, you know, always, you know, calls him PG Punk, but yeah, CM Punk, you know, he cut a promo basically while he was bleeding, he was crimson red, like he was just like, this was like a Attitude Era ECW matchup, like he was really bleeding. So yeah, CM Punk's gonna get this W, hands down, and get revenge. And then last but not least, you got Adam Page versus his, you know, former Bullet Club member and friend, Adam Cole, for the AEW Championship. I think Adam Cole is going to win this title. So potentially we could have the Undisputed Era, which is now known as Red Dragon, winning the gold like they were in NXT. So yeah, we'll see what happens with that.
This event is tomorrow night?
Yep, tomorrow night. Well, now it's tonight now, since now it's 12:05 as well.
For East Coast people, yeah.
Yep, for East Coast people, that's right. You know, for East Coast people, yeah, now it's Sunday. Early Sunday morning now. So yeah, that's going to go down. They also announced Paige Van Zandt. She's going to sign with AEW, but But the bigger AEW news is that Tony Khan announced to the world that he signed Ring of Honor. You know, and he even cut up when he cut the promo, he said, "No, it's not Shane. He's the one that owns it." And of course, that's in reference to Shane McMahon shocking the wrestling world by announcing that he owns WCW. So now Tony Khan owns AEW and Ring of Honor. And, you know, it's a very smart move. I mean, it just highlights what a dumb move Vince McMahon didn't do, you know, buying the company. You know, Ring of Honor has such history, and there's so many people that went through the who are stars in this in wrestling that came from Ring of Honor. I mean, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk. I'm trying to think. I think AJ Styles was in there too. I'm pretty sure AJ Styles was in there. Samoa Joe. Seth Rollins. I mean, there's a bunch. There's just so many people that you know who are stars to this very day that came from Ring of Honor. So yeah, and WWE had a chance to sign them sign the company, you know, to buy the company. They turned it down. And reportedly, he wanted to get something bigger, like New Japan Wrestling. So yeah, I think that was a missed opportunity. And now Ring of Honor is going to be revived. So, you know, congrats to Tony Khan buying Ring of Honor.
Yeah, Tony Khan, he has a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his father owns the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, well, this AEW, I don't know how long it's going to be around, but it's not making a profit. And if a company's not making a profit, then it's not going to be around soon.
Yeah.
Not going to be around for too long. So we'll see. We'll see how the AEW fares in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely need to turn it around, for sure. And, shifting gears, WWE, they don't need to turn it around because WrestleMania is coming up. And they had the MSG show that went down last night on Saturday. And basically, you know, it was just a rematch of the Elimination Chamber for the most part. You know, you had here's what happened. Alpha Academy, they retained the titles against Team RKO. Finn Balor, who recently won the title against Damian Priest on Raw, he retained the title, and
US
of course, the U.S. title, and Damian Priest turned heel on Raw. The Usos defeated New Day to retain the titles. Becky Lynch defeated Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley again for the Raw Women's title. Roman Reigns defeated Seth freaking Rollins, you know, who basically that's what happened right there. Yeah, apparently Kevin Owens stunnered The Miz during the Miz TV segment. Drew McIntyre defeated Sami Zayn, who lost his title to Ricochet on Friday Night SmackDown due to interference by Johnny Knoxville, who will be facing Zayn in a WrestleMania matchup. Then you had Ronda Rousey and Naomi again, tag team against Sonya Deville and Charlotte Flair, and basically it was the same result. And then last but not least, Brock Lesnar, you know, he was supposed to face Brock Lesnar, but Brock Lesnar, I mean, not Brock Lesnar, he was supposed to face Bobby Lashley, but, you know, Bobby Lashley suffered a concussion reportedly during the Royal Rumble match between both men, but for storyline purposes, Bobby Lashley injured himself in the Elimination Chamber match when Seth Rollins, you know, buckle bombed. I think was it Austin Theory through the thing that knocked out what's his name Bobby Lashley.
Was it Austin Theory?
Was it Austin Theory? I'm not even sure. I don't remember what it was.
I don't remember.
But any case. Do you want to guess who Brock Lesnar fought today?
Let me see.
I'll give you three guesses.
It probably is someone in the New Day. Maybe Kofi?
Nope.
Riddle?
Nope.
Hmm.
Got one more guess.
AJ Styles?
Nope. The answer is Vince McMahon's favorite wrestler, Austin Theory.
Oh, Austin Theory.
So Austin Theory fought in the WWE Championship match. Well, another WWE Championship match.
Right.
And he announced yesterday that that he's going to be his opponent in at WrestleMania. Because there was rumors that Vince McMahon was going to fight in a one-on-one matchup with Pat McAfee. But now it's been announced since SmackDown that Austin Theory is going to be his opponent.
I don't know what Vince McMahon's obsession with this Austin Theory guy is.
I don't see it either, man. I mean, like, yeah, man. It's like... I don't see how you can. This is not even heat. It's just the storyline is just so boring. It's so corny. Like, could have been done a better way. I understand he's a heel. You wanna get fans to boo. You wanna get fans to have negative reactions towards him. But this is just lame. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, at least, you know, with Kurt Angle back in the days and some villains back in the day, it's like, okay, you may not like them, but it's like, you know, yeah, they're talented, but you don't like them because they're arrogant and cocky. Man, this guy, this storyline is just lame. It's like Baron Corbin heat. It's like, you're not booing him because he's a great heel. You're just booing him because the presentation is like, it's just so lame. I mean, I get it. I get that's what... You want us to have a negative reaction, you know. But I don't know, it's just being shoved down your throat. It's just...
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Like, yeah, the execution has to be better. I mean, come on. So, of course, I mean, no surprise there. I know you know who won that match. Brock Lesnar versus Austin Theory. You're going to guess who won that match?
Well, I mean, Brock Lesnar, I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Nope, Austin Theory.
What?
Psych! Brock Lesnar won, of course.
No way he'd even have a chance.
Even if they got all the WWE champions from past and present, to interfere in this match, Brock Lesnar still would have won. But,
of course.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to have Lesnar lose before Mania.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy?
Yeah, that would have been insane if they actually would have done that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so I guess that's basically it that I could think of off the top of my head. Anything you'd like to say before we head out?
Thank you for having me on the show as usual, and come back here, y'all, and check out Sports Urban Legend every Saturdays at 11, only on Block Talk Radio.
Thanks, bro. So you heard that. Check out Sports Urban Legend. Check out Sports Urban Legend TV. And come back here next week. Check out Sports Urban Legend with me and Mac here.
I heard Sports Urban Legend is making a debut on OnlyFans. Is that true?
Don't believe everything you hear on TV, because that is 100% false. With that said, he's Macaulay Matthew, who apparently, I guess, now he's going to have a page on that, like that now. And I'm Moira Mo, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace.